our topic tonight is Seasons of Life and Church Service. I'm going to start with a quote by Jen Wilkin. The life of faithfulness is one in which we daily choose to place our hope in God with every ounce of certainty that He will not fail us. We choose the way of faithfulness, though we know it will be marked by trials and temptation. We choose it in matters large and small. We use our time faithfully, not squandering it as those who serve only themselves might do. We use our abilities faithfully to bring glory to the one who gave them to us. Amen. So let's talk about contentment, because really that's what this night is about, is contentment. It's called Seasons of Life and Church Service, but that is just a ruse for contentment. Hence our, we talked about Jeremiah Burroughs and his great book on contentment, and Andrew somebody, Murray, we'll look it up. Andrew somebody with the red book about contentment also. So why is contentment so hard? Does anybody want to? There's no wrong answer, except maybe like Satan made me do it. That might be the wrong answer. But why is it so hard for us to be content in the season we're in right now?
Because of our sin nature.
Let's say it just goes back to the garden. Here God made this perfect world for Adam and Eve to live in, and they were not content with it.
And it was perfect.
Staying within their bounds, yeah.
Does it get any better than the garden?
Yeah, heaven. Yeah. And that's what we're longing for, and if we're always going to fall short here. So, yeah. I mean, but to me, on the flip side of that, we need to be content with what God has provided us while we're here, too.
Yes. So that tension makes it is challenging, isn't it? Like, we're longing for heaven. I need to be content here, though. But I'm longing for heaven, but I need to be content here. And we're kind of like in the middle seesaw, right? Like trying to walk faithfully in the middle of that. If we long for heaven more, do you feel like that helps us to be more or less content here? How do you see that play out in your life?
More content.
More content here. Explain that to me.
Because the stuff in this world doesn't. All that matters is who you're striving to bring with you. So, yeah, when you have becoming heavenly minded, you're like, what is this dent in my fender? Who cares? That has no bearing on eternity.
Oh, I do.
You know? You know, like, all those things, it's just stuff. So, yeah, that's how I take it anyway.
So longing for heaven more actually helps us to be more content here. So if we're struggling with contentment then, where should we look? Colossians 3, right? Yeah. We should be setting our minds on things that are above where Christ is, not things that are on this earth, because our life is hid with Christ in God. When He appears, we also will appear with Him in glory. We need to set our minds on things that are eternal, not being overwhelmed or overcome by the things here. And then we'll find great contentment here because we won't be trying to make this heaven. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we can go too far in trying to get things just right and then we're frustrated that I worked really hard, or I really like didn't expect this sin to come out of this other person or me. Everything was supposed to go well. Why is this happening? Why is there miscommunications? Because this isn't heaven. We should expect that, right?
What is it? Godliness with contentment is great joy.
Mm-hmm. It's great gain.
Great gain.
Have any of you guys read John Piper's book on future glory?
I have not read it. Share it with us.
It's all about that. Mm. It's all about striving in the Christian life. The focus should not be on just living here and now, making the best of it, but to constantly be focused on what our promise is for future glory. And it was an amazing book to read.
What's it called?
Future Glory, I think, by John Piper. That's the name of it, I'm pretty sure. But if you look at if you have the Desiring God app, which has a daily devotional that's really short, most of those are excerpts from that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. So if you just read your email every day, you practically read it.
Something like that. I read that when I was single, and it was extremely good. So
that's great. Okay, so let's look at a few verses that talk about contentment. Philippians 4:11 and Hebrews 13. Who wants to read 4:11?
I will.
All right, great, thank you.
Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content.
And we can, let's just read these other two verses because they help us mm-hmm. to really connect with what Paul is saying. Go ahead.
I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
And this is coming from Janet, experienced shipwrecks and prisons and beatings and so however many attempts on his life. So our ability to be content is not based on our circumstance. It's based on recognizing where I am is by God's divine providence. I can be content wherever I am, whether it's poor or rich, I have little or a lot, because of Christ. So I can do it. I can be content here. Even if I long for something else, I can, because of Christ, not because the circumstance is just right. And we probably all recognize that. Have you ever longed for something and you got it and you're like, okay, I want something else, right? I remember reading a poem in high school and we studied it and analyzed it, and it was called Ode on Aggression Urn. And the whole idea was about the desire of something was more fulfilling and satisfying to have the desire and long for something than actually getting it. Once you got it, it was not as fulfilling as you expected. You felt somewhat empty, right? And so the same idea speaks here. That's all of our nature. You're saying that our fallen nature, we long for something and we get it. It's never as fulfilling as what we wanted, because nothing can satisfy us the way that the Lord can. And we put our hope in the wrong place. So shift. Let's put our hope on the Lord, and let's remember wherever we are, the circumstance may not change, but our perspective can change. And we can find joy in our circumstance, even in great difficulty, because we can know, I can be content here. I can please and serve the Lord here, even if I long to be in a different season of life, which is particularly what we're talking about here, right? If we're longing to serve or be in a different season, I can be content here because this is where God has put me. Does anybody have any thoughts on that before we turn over to Hebrews 13? All right. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Sue, would you read that for us?
Sure. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.
What more could we want than that the Lord would never leave us or forsake us? Mm-hmm. These passages in Philippians and Hebrews are talking about contentment and material things, but we know even more how God desires our hearts to be fully satisfied in him alone. Let's flip over to Proverbs 19. Let's go down to verse 21. All right. If we can't say amen, at least we can say ouch. Many are the plans of in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Raise your hand if you've made plans and they didn't come to fruition. Every person on the face of the earth, right? What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. So what we really want is to have the fear of the Lord and let that be leading our life. And then we can be satisfied, whether we have the thing that we're longing for or not. Part of our being content means that we recognize where we are is where God's put us, and entrusting ourselves to him in this season. One of the things that I love this podcast I listened to with Johnny Artemis talking about singleness, and one of the phrases he uses is leveraging your season of singleness. But we really could just cross out singleness there and just leverage the season God's put you in. Wherever you are, you're just going all out, not holding anything back, right? If we leverage ourselves in an investment, we're saying, well, I'm making a big investment. I hope it comes to fruition because I'm really, there's a high risk here, but there's a high potential for gain. We want to leverage ourselves, not holding back whatever season we're in. If you're in the season where you're at home, for whatever reason you are, and you can't really do much else than just be home. Maybe God's physically put you there with illness or injury or small, lots of small children or caretaking for someone else. Then maximize that season and find ways to serve Him that are unique in that season that you don't have as much when you're going out and doing errands and other things. One of the things that I really like here is how the workbook says there's three aspects to contentment. Excuse me. Recognizing where you are in life, entrusting the season to God, and then flourishing. Okay. What do we need to be able to flourish? Does anyone want to share? Okay, think about plants in your flower bed. What do they need to flourish?
Water,
sunlight.
You need to protect them too. So if weeds start growing, what do you need to do?
Pull the weeds.
Get out there and pull the weeds. They might need a little help. You might need to spray some fertilizer on them, right? Or put some beneficial plants or bugs around nearby to help them to grow. We need to be looking to support ourselves in this way. We need to be careful about what we're allowing to influence us that's going to pull us out of having success and flourishing, seeking contentment in that stage as a wife and a mom. So let's talk about one of the best ways that we can flourish in our season is by living life on life with an older woman. Go and find a Titus 2 woman and run up next to her. And you might have to run. I was just counseling someone the other day. Look for the time when this woman you want to spend time with is available. If it's early, if it's late, it's on weekends, weekdays, lunch break, whatever it takes. And they mentioned, well, early morning may be the only time. I said, go. When I was a young woman, the woman I wanted to spend time with, I had to chase her down. Literally, we would go running together early in the morning. That was when she was available. And when I got pregnant, we'd go walking together early in the morning because she was managing her household, older kids, but she had time to pour her wisdom into me. So finding time to go spend with an older woman. Listen to Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible or self-controlled. Pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Older women, these Titus 2 women, pass on to us the wisdom they have learned and practiced. And the younger women, we are to go learn this and then start practicing it ourselves, putting into practice the wisdom that we're hearing from these older women. Now, here is a warning. If you are a believer in the church, you are not allowed to hermit away with your family in your house. We're just always going to be having family time all together. Let's flip over to Galatians 5 so we can all see together why. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let's look for ways we can serve one another. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 encourages us to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We do need to usually be interacting to some degree in order to stimulate. Now, you could send a text. You could send an email. I do that often, right? That is very encouraging, especially if I know someone is in a season where they're in a particularly intense trial. Just sending a scripture is like balm. Okay, brings your mind back to the truth. I'm not just lost in my thoughts all day, right? But we also need to remember that Hebrews 10 talks about not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Any comments or questions about living life on life with each other?
It's always very scary when you meet someone who thinks they don't need that. Who thinks that they're fine without interaction, without the life on life.
you're like, red flag, major red flag. I know it's good. Maybe you have a great relationship with your husband. Maybe you're really enjoying being home with the kids. But that's not what you're called to alone. And so, yeah, it is part of being a believer. Mm-hmm. So it's inherent in being a believer that you want to spend time with other believers. So that always is very scary to me.
Yeah, and you really need it because you get lost in your own, I'm fine, I'm doing okay, and it's, in order to grow, you need the accountability, you need the iron sharpening iron. It's, and I didn't have that when I was living up north. And when I moved down here, and, you know, I already had family, thankfully, and already knew the church, but once I really got involved, like, especially the women's ministry and discipling and all that, it's just, it's so, so important. Because how do you grow? I mean, you can be set. As a single person, I could be sitting at home doing Bible study, and I'm quite satisfied with myself as I am, you know. So.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think when we are spending time with someone else and being willing to let them look on the inside of our life, it gives us insight into things we can't see on our own, like you said. So it helps us also to be aware of areas where we can have temptations or weaknesses that we didn't realize and that could be tripping us up in our everyday life. You know, if you ever had said the words, I just don't understand why I'm still walking and struggling in this sin area, keep tripping over this rock, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. That is the benefit of having those other eyes on your life to help you gently say, have you considered, or ask questions. They may not have the answer either, but you have someone to walk alongside you and pray for you and encourage you to share their wisdom. Or even say, let's go talk to Pastor Mark or Pastor Eric together. Like, I love you, friend. I want to help you. I don't know the answer either, but I know someone who's skilled with the word, who loves us and shepherds us. They can help us. Let's talk about spiritual gifts. We are called and commanded to be an active part of our church body. Now, there are seasons where we can't be as involved as others, right? It's always our goal still, though, to be a part of our church. And to help the body grow and work, not just sit and soak. We're not just consumers, right? Going to church, I had a good friend remind me, church is not about you. Church is not about you. Whenever I would say, well, no, church is not about you. And it was so helpful for me because it was very illuminating. I didn't realize that's what I was saying. But when we have a conversation and she'd say that, I realized that's what my words are saying. What is my heart attitude? I don't think that church is about me, but do I? Because look what my heart is going. Look at what the words are saying. Look at my expectations. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 4.
That's when people say, well, no one talks to me.
Yes.
Well, who do you talk to? You know, like.
Yes, yes. And so that is a really great reminder. We don't want to be the, okay, I'm here. Who's going to come minister to me? Like, they don't want to have the mindset, I'm here. We want to have the mindset, where is someone? We want to be looking for someone to bless or care for or open a door. Not everybody wants to have a conversation per se, but being available to serve and use your spiritual gift. It might be holding a door open. It might be having a conversation. It might be helping someone at the check-in. Perhaps you're not even on check-in duty, quote-unquote, or greeting duty or any of those things, but there you are and you're present. And I've seen that happen so many times in our body, and it's just incredible that one person is helping in an area because they're walking through and they saw someone was new or they needed help finding something and they had to point them to where to go next. And someone else walks up and goes, oh, I can help them get there, or I know where that is. Mm-hmm. I'll take them. Wow, praise God. And no one has signed anything. There's no service planning reminder that came to my inbox or theirs that told them to do this. And yet here we are living life together, serving freely, and no one's going, make sure I don't have to serve as much next week, right? Because I did a lot of serving this week. I talked to a lot of people. So we're freely giving. It's our joy to serve.
You just, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was going to say, you just reminded me, I wanted to tell you about your sons were on coffee cleanup last Sunday. And I said, thank you guys for serving. And they were like, oh, it's our pleasure to serve. Aww. And
Chick-fil-A.
I wanted to pass on that, you know, they were back there diligently doing their job and were happy to do it.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
When we were in Ireland, we visited this lovely Presbyterian church, and it was so encouraging to walk in and just see a congregation with just a variety of ages like we have here. But everybody was, so many people were very nice and friendly to us, and James was welcome to sit in there. And through the service, everybody was really patient with his noise. But they did, they were like, if you want to use the, I think they call it the creche instead of the nursery. I was like, it took me a minute to be like, what are you saying? and they took me and showed me where it was in case he got noisy and I needed to take him out or whatever. But it was several people came, and you could tell they weren't like officially in charge of that. They were just being friendly, and it was so encouraging to go to another country, another church, and see people just stepping up and serving and being kind and hospitable. So it was lovely.
That's precious. What an encouragement, too, for us to know the same spirit is in all believers. So we should all be doing the same types of things here or in Ireland, wherever it is, that pouring out that we're doing. All right, 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So whatever your gift, right? Some speaking, some encouraging, some mercy, serving. Use it to serve one another, not for your own self. So it might be hard to, like, serve yourself, per se. Like, I'm not carrying a tray to myself and then sitting down and saying anything, right? But we can serve ourselves. In that we deny others because we're just so focused on make sure my needs are met, I'm doing my things for me. And then you can think of that in a variety of ways and how that might work out. So, like, are you good at doing particular things? God's the one who gave you that gift. Why would you not bless others with it? It might be something that we can all see, like music or singing or hearing. Like, wow, please bless us with that. It might be something like organization. I'm really good at making sure everything's put where it's supposed to be and there's a label and it doesn't get empty and we restock. I'm really good at making sure things go where they're supposed to go. That's an incredible blessing. So the things that God is blessing you with, there's a season to use them. And if you're not in a season where you're in the body because of God's providentially hindered you, then be prayerful that God would raise up someone to do that in the body because we're all working together like a machine, right? It's like little parts of our body. If your pinky hurts, it affects you. If your tiny toe hurts, it affects you. You can't go with difficulty and not notice it. The whole body aches for those things. I mean, we've had some pretty disorganized closets full of stuff for a while, and it was painful to go try to find something, trust me. Listen to this quote by Mike Fabrez. He says, if all the teachers, preachers, and worship leaders decided to skip church all week, their absence would be painfully apparent. By contrast, most Christians feel insignificant to the overall health of their church and assume they can be passive at their church, or worse yet, skip it altogether, and it really doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is intent on utilizing every Christian to serve God's people, not to some or even to most, but to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Do you remember what this church was like when you guys first came here? It was pretty incredible. We started with 5 families. And we had certain things that needed to happen in order to, at that time we were live streaming from Naples. And there was always someone who had that gift that could step in. And with 5 families, you're talking like 10 adults. But we always had, somebody knew how to do it. Somebody knew how to sing. Somebody knew how to play an instrument. Somebody knew how to deal with the audio and visual, you know, equipment. And when that would fail, there were some who could stand up and just bring a message out of the word. And it was like, I've watched as God brought one of the most amazing ones was when we were renovating the North Campus and we sort of accidentally ended up sanding down all the pews and refinishing them. And then we're like, wow, we need them all recovered. Mm-hmm. And Angela's mom, oh, I do upholstery. Of course you do. Like, of course God would put someone in our body who does upholstery work. Like, who can cover the pews, you know? You're like, it just always, there was a need. And there was just somebody would go, oh, I can do that. And you're like, random. But it just always, no matter how small the church was, there just was always God. And it's just, God just would pluck people from all around the country. And just, they would just show up. And then we would need their gifts. Like Adam Freyhot does sign language. He's like certified in that. Well, wouldn't you know, of course, we had a deaf person for a while in our church. And he would sign the whole service for them. And you're just like, of course. Because it just got to be where you expected. If there was a need, God had already planted somebody who could, like Nick coming to here.
Yeah.
Nick comes here as a pastor. Okay, we're going to take you on. Eric can not do youth anymore. Nick can do youth. And then the guy who did all the music decided to move. And we all went, what? And Nick goes, oh, by the way, I play guitar. Of course you do. You came here just a couple weeks before we needed you. We didn't even know you had that skill. But of course, and now he leads music. You're like, God really does handpick people and put them in the body for a specific reason. Like, you, there is no just going, I'm just going to come and sit and soak.
Yeah. For all of us, I think that was great how you were mentioning all different types of, so not just pastors, not just.
Oh, yeah, no. No. There were all sorts of skills that we saw. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think that that's really, the life on life is precious, and then also joining in on Sunday is precious too, because you're getting to see things that you don't even know, people that are watching you live your life, the way you care or speak to your husband or your children, they're encouraged. Even just seeing a friend who hasn't been able to make it out all week, being able to pat them on the back and encourage them or speak a kind word to them. Who would have done that ministry if you had not been there? And so the ministry that God has given to you is your ministry. There is no other you. There's no other Sue or Linda or Sydney. You are the only one to do your ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't accomplish his purposes, but we do need to think very seriously about, when I'm considering not doing or being available because of the temptation to feel I'm invaluable, I'm replaceable, someone else will do it. There's a lot of people who have already volunteered. I'm sure they've got it covered. You are negating this very idea that God has purposely called you to good works and planned them ahead of time for you to do, whatever they may be. It's not about whether you feel like coming or not, right? Or what your perception may be of how, quote unquote, important you are, right? Mm-hmm. And truthfully, we should all, in a very, like, pull back, whatever it's called, 30,000 feet. In that perspective, we should all be like, we are all disposable because the church is about Christ. Mm-hmm. It is not about me. It is not about you. But when you get it down, when you draw down very small, even when you look at a hill of ants, each one is carrying something to the hill. They each have a job and a purpose, and it could not happen without all of them. And how much more significant are we than ants? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people watching you that you don't even realize the way you live your life. What is your life speaking to others? What are they seeing as they watch you? And how is your contentment in the season that you're in? Whether you feel significant or insignificant? What about the trials you're facing? Are others watching you walk through those trials joyfully? Is your hope in Christ? Let's turn and look at Philippians 2 to help us get a little bit of an accurate gauge of our spiritual and family temperature. Philippians 2, 12 to 15. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who's at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will provide yourself to be blameless, to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So how's your complaining?
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many of us have complained about the heat in the last week? Yeah. Are there other things that we kind of complain about casually? Like, it's acceptable to complain about?
Anybody want to fill?
The electric bill?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you get together in a group. I was just thinking about my the people that I play pickleball with all complaining about something with the HOA.
Okay, you know? Yep.
And, of course, we're in a group, and we're all of same mind that they're doing it wrong. And it's like, they're all volunteers. Get up there and do the work then. You know, I don't say that, thankfully, but, you know. It's
yeah. So how do we guard our hearts against the complaining that is bound to be stirred up because we are sinners living in a fallen world. And it is really easy when we are struggling with contentment to justify a little bit of grumbling about things like the HOA or the heat or whatever. How do we lead our heart into an attitude of gratitude?
I think that's it. It's the gratitude. It's finding things to be thankful for.
Amen.
That's Amen. The key. Because it's the opposite. You put off the grumbling and you put on thankfulness.
That's right. Yeah. 1 Thess 5:18 says to give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say feel thankful. Yeah. I have to remind myself that and my children. So we are to be giving thanks, not necessarily feeling super thankful. Feelings may follow. Obedience first. So what can we start with? What does that look like when we're in the middle of opening the door? Here's what my heart sounds like. Open the front door. Woo! It is hot outside today. Lord, thank you. This is so great. Look at all this green grass and these beautiful plants. Because of this sun, and you have made this like tropical environment. I love it. Thank you so much, Lord. I'm so grateful. This is so beautiful. I'm so grateful I get to live here.
Or thank you so much for air conditioning. Mm-hmm. Thank you for my house. That's nice and cool that I can afford to pay the electric in most months.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Looking for something to be thankful in the midst of the moment. And then when you realize you've got a weak area, right, don't... I lived in a really old house for a season, and the landlord didn't really want to fix the weak cords, so we put furniture over them. It's kind of fun. Don't do that. Don't just cover it, right? How do we deal when we realize, how do we deal with these areas of heart where we realize, okay, I have got a discontent attitude about the weather.
Yeah, you've got a discontent attitude over there.
My lack of food, my electric bill. What do we do? What's our first step when we realize, okay, my heart temperature here is not great?
We'll pray.
Lord, help me.
Yeah. So we pray. Is complaining sin?
Yes.
So repent. Lord, forgive me. Mm-hmm. Lord, forgive me. And now, Lord, help me. And now, I'm going to put it on. Thank you. Mm. Thank you, Lord, that I am alive and you love me. I can't find anything else right now to say thank you about. But you love me and you will never leave me or forsake me.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it feels like. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me this trial that I know, Romans 8:28. You're working out for my good. I don't really understand why. I've had a lot of those conversations with my wife with the Lord. I feel like I'm probably going to have them until I die. Don't really know why you'd want to spend your money on this thing or why you'd want me to spend your money to buy this thing and then for it to break and I have to pay to fix it. But Lord, it's your thing and it's your money and I'm just here and I love you and I want my heart to love you and glorify you in it. So you know what? Let's just go for it. We're just going to make the calls, meet the repairman, whatever I need to do. I don't have to understand. I have to obey and glorify the Lord in it. And there's great peace in that because you're just remembering how small you are and the Lord's just doing it. And you're just like, okay, I'm here and I get to grow. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm not ready, but I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm definitely ready. But you're walking forward in faith. I want to grow. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be a grumbler. I'm not going to baptize my sin. I'm not going to justify my grumbling. I'm going to turn away. Thank you for that, AC. Woo! Good thing I don't have to go outside right now. Help me go find those shorts when I have to in a few hours, Lord, or whatever. Any thoughts on that before we... I've got a quote for you. A wise man once said, the grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it.
So, do you remember Irma Bonnet?
No.
Oh, my gosh. She was this old, well... Back in the day, she wrote a column that, like, one of her things was, if life is just a bowl of cherries, why am I living in the pits? And her thing was, the grass is always greener over the septic tank.
Mm-hmm. Accurate, yes.
And, yeah, that's, you just reminded me when you said the
that's
grass
hilarious.
Is green.
Yes.
Yeah, she had a funny spin on.
I love that. So ask the Lord to help you in these areas. We can grow in godliness. We're going to have to strive. It's not, no one's going to wake up and just suddenly be like, I'm just a grateful, sinless person. It's not going to happen. But we can strive to put on holiness. I want to grow, Lord. Help me. Show me. If you want to not be a complainer, if you find you're a complainer, ask God to show you where you're complaining.
Well, who was it? The apostles. Lord, increase our faith. Yeah. And who would have more faith than these men that were following Jesus, you know? But yet, that was their prayer. Increase our faith.
And maybe ours too. Yeah. So let's talk about the how-tos about the contentment and the seasons of various seasons of life. Let's start with a young wife. So when you're newly married, right, you might be working at home. You might be working out in the world. It's a great time to start establishing. Even, Sydney, you mentioned you're entering adulthood now, like officially, right? This is a great time to be establishing routines, even though you may still be living either with a roommate or at your family's home. To start establishing routines in your home, and then as you get married in your marriage, you have a lot of free time. You may not know you have a lot of free time, but you have a lot of free time. Ephesians 5:15 tells us to walk carefully, to look how we're walking in strength. It's wise. Make the most of our time because the days are evil. Are you attending ladies' Bible study? Are you serving alongside your brother or sister or parents or, when you're married, your husband? At church, are you seeking out other families to bless and be with? Are you investing yourself in the Word, spending time in study? Are you seeking out an older woman to spend time with? Make sure you're doing it. Okay, for those of us who have been the young wife, or have been less responsibilities, and now we're in a new season where we've seen more responsibilities, what's one thing you wish you would have done in that season when you had less demands on your time? When you thought you had no time, but you really had so much time. What's one thing that you're like, I really wish I would have done this?
Organize my house better.
Read more. I keep thinking I have time to read, and I even put it on my planner, and all of a sudden I'm like, what just happened? The day's gone and I didn't. I'm not talking about like reading the Word, but you know, you have all these good books like we're looking at here, and I have a shelf full, and I'm like, why am I not getting them?
Yes.
You have to be intentional though, and really. Hey, you bring a note.
That's enough. Learning skills. I wish I had spent more time learning skills that would be helpful to me as a young wife before I actually became
a young wife.
I was living as a young person who belonged to myself, and then suddenly was expected to like cook and clean a lot and do it well, and that was very challenging. I wish that I had spent more time learning those things before I actually got like on the stage. All right, let's talk about the season of a young mom. Yay, young mom stage! Or a new mom? Maybe we should just say new mom stage.
That's always funny for me because I'm like, new mom. Young mom.
New mom, okay. So
you're a young mom.
No, I'm not.
Probably a good word to describe your season is tired. It's okay. It's just temporary, right? There's a lot of, I feel like that season is really full as well of constant shifting. It's like the baby is just born or has just arrived. Maybe you've adopted. Like the baby's just arrived. We're all just getting used to each other and sleeping and where's your room and where's my space and, or maybe you're recovering from giving birth, right? And you're like, wow. Then you shift and you're like, oh, we're starting to get a little more schedule. I'm getting more and more sleep. This is amazing. This is so great. And there's a new shift. Oh, or teething, or some other new thing. You've learned how to walk, or you've learned how to crawl. I've got to put things up. I've got to protect. You don't stay on the little mat anymore or in your saucer. You're not all over the house. You're eating things. What are you eating, right? It is very challenging to continue to grow spiritually and seeking out those discipleship relationships because it can feel tempting to try to do what? Maybe kind of control, like, okay, if I can just get everything under control here, I'm going to feel better about everything. I feel like things are smooth. The reality is your child and your children, they're going to keep changing. The seasons are going to keep changing. Don't neglect spending time in the Word. Don't neglect those relationships. It may look one way in your mind. It's okay if it doesn't come out that way in your life, right? And you have to adapt. Sometimes when we're younger, we're like, I can read for hours on end, and I can study, and I can just meet anybody anytime. And then we have a baby, we're like, I can barely read at first, and I'm falling asleep. I feel like my mind is like a colander. It's just all falling out again, right? So it's really, really important that you are seeking to do what you can to be faithful in your home and in the word, but not striving after perfection in a way that God has not called us to. If you are particularly organized, or you're particularly creative, and you were like, I just want everything to be so artistic and aesthetically beautiful, or maybe you're like a great chef or cook, we have standards, and we need to be asking ourselves very carefully, are these God's standards? Is this what God expects of my life right now? We may need to lower our standards for certain things that God, there's nothing biblically wrong about having PB&J for dinner, right? It might feel like this is weird, or cereal for dinner, or a bagel for dinner. Woohoo! My kids used to love it. Like, yeah, we're having cereal for dinner. That was like their favorite, right? So that I can be faithful in some other way. Great. They're going to have cereal, and it's going to allow me to do this task I need to do. And I'm going to be able to be faithful. So when my husband comes home, I have the energy left to give him a smile. Go, honey, I'm so glad you're here. I love you. Thank you for working hard today. Right? Does anybody want to share anything about that new season where we're just tired? And we have a lot to do.
I think you have to not have the mindset of, as soon as this, I will be more faithful. Because you just never get there. It's like, what can I do right now? What are my priorities right now? And you have to constantly go back and say, okay, you know, God first, husband second, children third, then others. And I'm like down the block there, you know. But, yeah, you have to recognize that God has given you that time and those challenges, and it still expects you to grow and not put off, you know, I'll get to the word. I'll do this study, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll learn and grow, I'll listen to a sermon, I'll go to church when I get to this point. And, no,
that's a great point.
Yeah, live in the day.
That's a great point. I'm not in a new mom stage, but I still am in that season where someone might interrupt me, will interrupt me. I could actually like bet money on it. I would be very rich if I bet someone on that. because my number one responsibility is to my home and my family and my children. And so if I get up and I'm spending time studying word, can I not study? Which is why I love trying to make sure that I'm getting in the word more than one time a day. If I don't get in the word in the morning, well, then do I just be like, well, the whole day's shot? No, why would I think that, right? We talked about that before. If you miss brushing your teeth once, you're like, oh, never brushing my teeth again. Okay, that's not going to work. But I know later in the day I can get out my Bible and I can still read. I can do it mid-morning. I can do it at lunchtime. Do I really need to be watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse with my 5-year-old on the couch at 4 o'clock when she gets up with her snack? No. There's like half a dozen other people that want to sit next to her and snuggle her. Okay, so I could actually go read my Bible for 20 minutes while she listens to Mickey Mouse, you know? Or whatever it looks like. I have a plethora of time in my day to be able to regain that. And I do, and it is, I find the bigger struggle is not finding the time of day. It's my own willingness to die to self. I don't want to be interrupted. I don't want to have to do things differently. I don't want to be in the middle of a chapter where I'm writing down what I'm learning and have to stop at verse 12 and there's like 10 more verses. I'm like, I just want to finish this chapter. But it's obvious. Okay, stop. Wait. Honor the Lord. Keep persevering. Don't give up. It's not over. I have the rest of my life to study the Bible. Why would I feel like, well, I guess I'm done. Just one step, one drop. Some days it's much longer. Some days it's much shorter. The Lord is kind. You'll find that as a new mom. Let's talk about the new mom with lots of children, because that's a fun topic. All right. You have so many children. You don't know why. No, it doesn't. You do know why. But it's so fun and wild at the same time. You can see other people, and they look like their life is so great. Everything seems really tidy and organized and pretty in their house. They seem like they're doing so much more things than you. Be careful. Be careful playing the comparison game. You are comparing the inside of your life to the outside of their life. Who walks around to go get the mail in, like, their skivvies? No one, right? Maybe someone in this generation. I don't walk around in my pajamas to go way down to the neighborhood to get my mail, right? Who goes out on the front lawn to have a, as Steve Fleming says, a time of intense fellowship with your husband? We're going to talk about this issue we need to talk about and come to unity on. No, we don't do that. And so we need to be careful that we're not looking at the inside of what's going on in our life, where we are very aware of a lot of our frailties and inconsistencies and sin patterns, And then looking at someone else's life and going, well, but Sue's got it all together. I mean, her house is so clean, and she doesn't have any bumps in her fender, and, you know, just all these other things. It's like, that's not my life. If God wanted me to have that life, I'd have it. So your life might be filled with lots of Cheerio spills and sticky spots on the floor and missing shoes. You might have difficulty because you're trying to teach one child about their sin nature and encouraging them toward repentance while you're changing a diaper. That's okay. That's very realistic. That is a part of a season. And so embracing that, these are the people I'm ministering to. These little people need me to be pouring into them. Galatians 6:9 is a great encouragement to cling to. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow. Anybody want to share about lots of kids?
It's fun. But I tended to do that. I would get lots of invitations to do lots of things and had to most often say no. And then feel like, oh, I'm depriving my kids. And it's like, but that's not my life. I don't have three kids. I have seven kids. And, you know, it's a whole different life. And that's okay. And sometimes you think you need things and you really don't need them, because if you really needed them, God would provide them for you. Mm-hmm. So there are so many times we think we need things that we don't actually need.
Yes.
So.
You might be an amazing multitasker, by the way. However, you might not be keeping up with all of it as well as you think you are. So it's important to stay attuned to your husband's insights about where you're growing, how you're growing, and seek his counsel about how involved should I be, honey, in church activities outside of Sunday gatherings. Because he will have something to say about it. It would be foolish of us to just sign up and say yes without going, I'm really okay with that. Let's talk about middle school kids and teens, another season shift. Maybe you feel like you can do more outside the home because you have older kids, and you probably can to a certain degree. Be careful that you don't all start growing in different directions and you kind of lose touch with each other. Like, oh, well, since you're at this sport or activity or babysitting or hanging out with friends, Dad's going to work late because he knows we're not going to eat dinner together, which then means Mom's not really going to cook a meal because we're not all here, and other siblings are going to be doing other things, and now we're just all living little separate individual lives in one home. Mm-hmm. Have we seen that before? Mm-hmm. I know that's easy to slip into, especially in the summer. I feel like there's less structure, so it's like, oh, where are you going? Who are you? Okay, great, yeah. And so trying to pull those in and remind yourself, what's our primary purpose in our family? What is our goal in our family? What's our goal in life? Glorifying God. And if our kids were asked, what's the most important thing in your family? What would they say? What's the most important thing to your mom and dad? What would they say? Is God high up there? Is serving him? Is serving the church? Is that high on the list? It should be.
Is it higher than serving them?
Are we working hard to prepare our children for adulthood? Are we spending time having conversations? So the margins. Are we just having time for downtime? We're not scheduled to be anywhere. It's not like, well, I have a meeting that ends at 3. I've got another one that starts at 5. So I've got 2 hours of downtime. Maybe. If you like that in your mind, probably not. Because you're already thinking, right? Make sure that you have time in there for being faithful to what we're called to do. Titus 2 women, we want to be serving our husbands and our children, caring for our homes in a way that they're peaceable. Mm-hmm. Our children know that we're available to them. Are we being ruled by other activities and sports and other things driving the engine of our family? So, well, we can't have dinner together on this night or do these things on these days because of this thing, but then we've also got to go out of town for this thing, and this thing that we all thought would be like fun and extra and beneficial has now become the center, and it's like our whole family is rotating around it. Are your kids missing you? Do they miss Dad because you're doing too much? Are your kids having their own quiet times? Do they have some quiet time to just be kids, be creative, have downtime, quote unquote, get bored, right? Sometimes the best things come out of boredom time with no scheduled anything. Study the word to serve others, just to be available. Oh yeah, my kid's available. He wants to go help and serve in that way, right? And then lastly, are you constantly leaving your kids with others to go do what you want to do or quote unquote serve others? Be sure you are serving your family foremost. They are your mission field. I have often told my kids, and I remind myself as I'm telling them, if we are successful out there, we have failed in here, pointing to our home and our relationships, we have failed. This is where God has called me to be faithful. He has not said, women, make sure that you're at church 3 nights a week serving. Make sure you take 3 meals a month. He has said to love your husbands and children, to manage your home, to be kind and sensible, pure. That is my job. If I fail at doing those things, I failed, no matter how great I looked to everyone out there. And faithfulness is not marked by out there. Faithfulness is marked by in here. Who am I in here with these little tiny tasks that no one sees except my kids and my husband? Yeah. Your kids can be included in your ministry, by the way, and try to include them as much as you can to go drop off meals to people or to spend time cleaning up someone's yard. If you're going to go visit a friend, Linda, what were you going to add?
I was going to add, that's huge. When we have children in the home.
Yes. That was like a punctuation. Yeah.
We shouldn't be leading them to go serve. We should be taking them to go serve.
Yeah.
And demonstrating it, modeling it, and having them help.
Yes.
You know, we did a ladies' Bible study at our house before we had a church building, and we had a lot of young moms, and it was like a family effort. My kids would take all the kids out in the backyard for the whole hour and a half to 2 hour study and watch them. And it took all of them, you know, to watch all these little kids. And it, you know, first they had to help me clean the house. It was like, I just wanted to lead a ladies' Bible study, but it took all of us, you know. We had to clean the house, and then they had to commit to watching all the kids outside. And it was our ministry. And they learned. It's like, this is important. This is, we're serving these women who otherwise can't go to a Bible study because there's nobody to take care of their kids. You know, but it was not me leaving them to go. So they all learned. They all learned to serve. They learned to, you know, that's, it's like we do this together.
Yes. And you'll find, I don't know if your children found that, my children found, I found my kids love to serve when I include them. Like, Mom, when are we having more people over? When is the study starting back up? When are people coming? I miss that. I want to talk to those people. I want to serve. Can I help you clean? What are we going to cook? When are we, oh, they saw ingredients on the table the other day that were different than normal. What is this? Or can I have this? No. Why? We're having people over. Yay, who are we having over? What are their names? Do they have any kids? Do you have a picture? Oh, what are they like? They were just like, we want to know all about them.
Right.
I went out of town. My husband and I went out of town to take one of our kids to school. They are planning and hosting a lunch for people from church without me there. Mom, can we have people over and cook food? Yes, you may. Sounds great. And they did it. They cleaned, they prepared food, and they had people, and they were intentionally looking to minister to others. They were inviting people over that weren't as plugged into different friend groups. Like, oh, we want to invite them over and this person over. Sounds great. Because that is what God has been so kind to show us. It's just opening the doors of your home. And our children love to see it and be a part of it because we've included them in it. It's like, you're a valuable part of our ministry, whatever we're doing. Because you are ministering to people. When you play with their children or you have a conversation with an adult, it blesses them. It's not just you cleaned up the counter or you vacuumed the rug beforehand. It's all of it, right? And I couldn't do whatever I do without them because I can't clean the whole house and cook the food and be cheerful and have energy to talk to people and then clean up after. Whew.
Yeah. And how ineffective to sit and say, okay, today we're going to learn about how to do hospitality. Here's what you do. You invite people over. But I mean, nobody's going to learn that way. It's not. It's just when it's a part of your family and what you do, they learn it. Now I see my kids, they have their own houses, and they're always having people over and ministering, and they'll go, this family, they're not plugged in. We need to have them over. You know, I need to get to know this one. And it's just so cool. It's like they just do it because it's just what they do. That's what you do. And you're like, yeah, that's what you do. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. Let's talk about adult children or empty nesting. You might feel like Linda was sharing, oh no, I'm not homeschooling anymore. But actually, this is great. This next season is so sweet too. So you're getting to now pour into your wisdom, into those of us. Tell us, how do we do this? Teach us. Show us the way.
Let's pour, go through the book.
Let's go through the book. Pour yourself out into those who are on the path of righteousness. Meet with ladies in discipleship. Babysit for younger moms who desperately need a break. Serve in practical ways at your church. You have the freedom.
Yeah, serve in nursery.
Oh, it is such a blessing, isn't it, as a mom who has a child to drop them off to just a sweet, seasoned woman who's just like, it's okay, I know, no worries. And you just feel, oh, I just know this is going to be okay. Like, they know how to hold my child. They're encouraging me as I'm walking away from the nursery. This is great. It's so helpful. And it's wonderful to be on the receiving end of that. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So let's talk about some questions for contemplation. And I have a little note at the end I thought was very sweet down there that Jill added. So let's talk about what others see and encourage in you as a spiritual gift. Does anybody want to share something? I have often heard it said, a good friend said to my husband and I 15 years ago, what do you like to do? And what do other people like when you also do it? That's a good hint. It could be your spiritual gift, right? Do you love it, but everyone else is like, please no. Or vice versa. Everyone's like, do it, and you're like, please no. But not because you're kind of being, you know, humble or awkward, but you're like, I really do not enjoy doing this thing, right? Does anybody want to share anything that they're like, you know, I really enjoy this, and now I'm doing it, or I want to do it more?
I like organizing things.
And you're so good at it.
And yeah, I mean, it worked out, it's just worked out great because, you know, Kristen has so many things she juggles, and for her to be able to pass that alone, and you know, I have fun doing it. So, although as my sister has told me, don't get too crazy about it. Where if somebody puts something in the wrong place, you get all.
But I have such comfort knowing if I have to put something away, I know Sue will fix it. I'm not sure where this goes, yeah. But I'm just gonna leave it in this area because it should go here, but it looks full and it's ready to be put away. It's okay. Sue will fix it.
That's where, like I said, she gave me that one warning, and now I'm just kind of like, I even said, what was it? One Sunday they were cleaning up, and I guess we had food out because they had a lot of the trays, you know, those marble colored ones that we use, and I think it was the Floyds were on cleanup, and I said to Laura, just leave them on the counter, I'll put them away, you know, and because they were doing the cleanup part, and I'm like, just leave them. I come in during the week and I'll take care of it.
That's fabulous.
And now we have, I bring Kate with me, and Kate does some stuff around here too, so
cool.
It's fun.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
What are some things that we can do when we are in a season where we can't be as mobile as we'd like? So I can't just hop in my car and drive somewhere and pick and lift, and what are some things that we practically can do that would bless others?
Pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
Yeah, kind of encouragement, you know, phone calls, cards, letters, texts.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yes.
I thought you said checks. I was like, you're sending people checks?
Oh, that's true.
Yes. That is so, so, so helpful.
Yeah, sometimes it's just you're praying for someone and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to ask them how that went or what, and it's huge.
Mm.
I know it is for me, too. I'm trying to think of things I can do if I have surgery on my knee and I'm laid up. I'm like, okay, can you come to me instead of me coming to you? Yeah. Bible study? How about FaceTime? Mm-hmm. One mom, I'm like, I usually meet her during nap time at her house, and I'm like, maybe we could do FaceTime. We've actually done FaceTime. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. So texting, praying, or sending cards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at Clint putting it out there on the app. Who can I pray for?
Yeah.
He's been a huge encouragement.
So oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. So sweet. Mm-hmm. Reading those books that you've been wanting to read. Mm-hmm. Helping post things that need to be done administratively, like post notes, post graphics, stay up to date on things, even telling someone happy birthday, that's precious. Those types of things are so helpful and so needed. We often don't acknowledge how necessary they are. We want to do the things with the hands, and it's not till we're constrained that we realize, okay, so it's not like my last resource, like, I know you're praying, but what else can you do? No, I'm praying. If I do nothing else, I need to pray. That's the number one thing I need to do, is I need to pray for this person, these people. Then if there's anything else, we'll see what we can do. It's almost a blessing when the sign-up list is full for the meal train, right? Because it forces you to go, oh, but I need to pray for them. Why am I not praying? Why do I feel like the first thing I'm going to do is sign up to go take them some food? The first thing I need to do is pray for them. What about in the season where you have some time, but not a lot? Maybe drop off a meal, right? And it doesn't have to be something you made. You could stop by the store and grab something. You could send a gift card. You could order food and have it sent. You could be strategic with your time. You could come and say, can I sit with you from 2 to 3 p.m. on Thursday and fold some laundry? Or could I bring you a coffee? Could I drop off something? I've had someone say, can I come drop off some bread I made? I don't remember what it was. It was delicious. Yes, you may. Yes, you may. They just came by, dropped off the bread, and left. I was like, wow, thank you. That blessed me so much, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a big, extravagant thing. One thing I found, and you can tell me if you guys have found this, people are more likely to say yes when they're in a season where there's a need if I give them a specific. So instead of being like, how can I serve you? And they're like, oh, okay, thanks, I'll let you know. I say, can I bring you some fresh fruit on Wednesday afternoon? Like, specific, right? That's also a good hospitality trick, right? Can you come over next Saturday at 6? Like, very specific, right? And then it's like, oh, yeah, that would be great. Thanks. I love fresh fruit, you know? Or actually, what I really need is, could I come over and, like, clean your bathroom or do some laundry for you on Monday morning? Right, being very, can I come over and walk your dog for you? I know that you have been busy, or I know that you've had an injury. Being very specific is helpful, because sometimes in the midst of the difficulty, people are like, I don't really know. I know I need stuff, but I don't know what. That can be very helpful.
I had when my mom was really, really sick, and I was busy taking care of her and my grandma and my brothers and all this stuff, I had a girlfriend say, can I just come over and give you a foot massage?
Oh,
and I was like, yeah, and she's like the most encouraging person ever. Mm-hmm. So she just sat there and served me by giving me a foot massage in my own home. I didn't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And she just talked with me and encouraged me. And it was the sweetest thing. And it was like so random. Mm, she so drove probably like 45 minutes to get to my house, you know, and it was so sweet. So sweet. And I don't like touching other people's feet, so I know that's a really special thing.
That's so great. That's such a practical opportunity. So, like, whatever it is that you have. I had a friend who was very musical, and I was like, could you come over after I have the baby and just come sing some hymns with me and encourage me in the Lord? Because you're just so tired. It's like, I just want to sing truth. I miss being with other believers, because it's like, you know, the first week or so after having the baby, you're like, I still haven't gotten back into things yet because I'm not Linda. And
no, that was very selfish. Because it was like, don't tell me I have to stay down because I will mentally go into depression. Like, the hormone thing was hard for me, and so getting to a routine was much better mentally.
Yes.
For me. Yeah. Maybe not for my body, but it was for my mind.
Yes, yes.
The body will follow. Right?
Yeah.
I understand. Okay, so let's talk about how we are preparing our hearts for less of me and more of Christ. What do we do daily that kind of helps prepare our hearts? Less Megan, less Natasha, less Lizzie, or Elizabeth. Do you say Elizabeth in your head to yourself?
Either or. Okay.
Not LW, though. Okay. What am I doing? Less of myself, more of Christ.
For me, when I was single and I had gone through a breakup and was really heartbroken, and I was just really struggling emotionally, and I was just so inward focused, and I was like, I gotta get out of my own head and get out of my house and go do other things. So one of my girlfriends had just had a baby. I'm like, don't wash a single dish all day. I'm gonna come over after I get off of work. I'm gonna wash dishes for you, and I'm gonna hold the baby for you and whatever else you need. But don't wash a single dish all day. She's like, oh, I'm fine. I can do it. I'm like, I need to come and serve you. I need to do this for you. And she's like, okay. And I was like, don't wash any dishes. So it was just one of the things I had to do. Just, I was really active at that time, like, hey, I gotta fill my time with things that aren't me just sitting at home in my condo by myself being depressed about my breakup.
Yes,
really,
that's great. So less me time. Yep.
Too much time on your own thinking and contemplating, and everything was just like not good for me at that time. I was like,
yeah,
go out and do things, even though you're tired after a long day of work and everything else. So
yes, that's good.
I think praying too, because I know for me, when I'm praying for someone, it makes me stop and think, okay, what are the challenges they're facing right now? And sometimes it brings to mind things that they might need, or a word I can text them, or, okay, I'm going to see them at church today. Let me ask them how this went. Let me, you know, so preparing my mind to be others focused in my prayer time then spurs me on to think of other things, that ways I can serve them. So that's helpful to me. I found this great app called Prairie, and I organize all my, and I'm consistently praying for, like, all the things I've always wanted to be consistently praying for, you know? So I'm finding that really, really helpful. And I pull it up, and it's just random every day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to pray. Like, people I wouldn't normally, I just plug them in there, and then I will pray for them consistently. So it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find, too, like, if I'm doing my, you know, daily reading, if I come across a verse, sometimes I think of a person, like, right off, and I'm like, okay, I got to text this verse to that person, because it just, I don't know, it's like God connects it in your head. Mm-hmm. That verse is for that person.
That's a great way to think on that. Being willing to pray wherever we are in the midst of any of the things. Oh, let me pray. So here are some things to think on. You don't have to necessarily answer, but I kept thinking about, we were talking about the discipling, like those, the conveyor belt, or the, like, lines of people, like, I'm passing the bucket to the next person, right? Okay, someone is pouring into me, I'm pouring into someone else. So here is a good question to kind of think through about contentment. Are you passing down the wisdom you have received to someone else? And are you receiving wisdom from an older person? Older in godliness, right? It may not necessarily be too many years between you in actual age. Another good question to think on is, and I will say, I'll plug, if you don't have an older person to talk to, we have a whole group of older ladies who are being taught and encouraged how to be Titus to women. And Edie and Bev Giro are in charge of that group of ladies. So if you don't have an older lady that you meet with, and you would like to have someone that you meet with regularly to pour into you, go talk to Edie and Bev. Say, please, send me someone, right? If you've looked around the church and you've seen someone who is admonishing others cheerfully, courageously, depending on the admonishment, tender and kind to their husband, they seem as though they are walking in godliness, ask your husband. That's what I did. Honey, I'm thinking about asking this person if they'll disciple me. What do you think? Sounds great. Okay. Will you disciple me? I'll think about it. Okay. Yes, I will. Okay. That easy. It was just those steps. So look around you to see who is walking in godliness. Can they pour into me? And they may say, I don't have time, but I think you should try this person. They will be a great fit for you. Are you prioritizing your home and the people in it above activities and busyness? And if you're not in a super busy season of life, right, are you doing things that are going to, as far as activities and busyness or lots of people, are you doing things now to become the woman you want to be in 2, 3, 5, 10 years? Mm-hmm. That's another thing to think about, right? Sydney, you were talking about being in this new season of adulthood. You have this opportunity now to start creating those habits and patterns. as we think about what kind of woman we want to be in the future, are we actually moving toward that goal, right? Nobody just shows up at the marathon. I mean, somebody does, and they usually regret it without training. You train and you get ready, and then you're like, I'm ready because I practiced. We want to be ready as well. So what is it that I want to be ready for? What are the things that I wish, I'm going to wish then that I had practiced now so I will be ready to prioritize my home and the people in it? What does my husband think about my activities and my busyness? Have you asked him what he thinks? Because you should. Are you overemphasizing your family and home and not serving, right? We talked about hermiting in. We're taking our gifts and stewarding them for our flesh. Like, oh, we're going to stay home and have family night. Okay, what's family night look like? Oh, everyone's in their room on their phone watching a movie. Well, or you could be serving or fellowshipping with believers. So let's make sure when we are saying, I'm going to be staying home, that this is family time, you're doing something legitimately, like that interpersonal time together. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're all reading your Bible for 3 hours together, but it should be profitable time together as a family, not, I just really don't want to go get dressed and drive and be and interact, and I'm just going to couch it in family time, right? And that's hard because as a mom, we often feel like tired at the end of the day. There is never a time when I feel so tired as right before ladies' Bible study. Why? Who can know? But every time it's like, oh, you know, I'm just tired. The days that I need it the most are the days where I feel the most tired. And then I show up and I'm like, I was so blessed. I am so glad I came. Mm. We had one day where I was watching two other kids and our septic broke. And my dad came over to help me. And my dad is not a believer. And he doesn't like when things don't get fixed easily. So we heard a lot of like irritation and frustration coming out that the things weren't getting fixed. Plus we didn't have anywhere to go to the bathroom. Plus two extra kids that weren't mine. But we had like half an acre with a lot of trees and plants. And most of the kids were boys. So I could just be like, just go really far out there. And they just loved that. But it was not an unstressful afternoon. And my husband and I were basically going to be ships. And so I was supposed to leave as he got home. And I was like, you know, I'm just not going to leave. It's going to be too much. Church was 45 minutes away. My oldest made me a salad, put it in a container, and said, Mom, you really need to go to study. My husband said, you really need to go to study. It's going to bless you. I know it's been a hard day. And I went to study, and it was all about praising the Lord through difficulty. And I was like, wow, that's just what I needed today. Okay, we still didn't have anything working, you know, when I left. And I'm just like, what? It doesn't matter. Just go. I was so grateful that I went. And it was a sincere temptation to not go. It was a very real temptation to say, it's been a hard day. I don't even have a toilet that works. I mean, come on. And I'm watching all these kids. God was kind. So don't let that be you. In the part where I didn't go. Want to go. But be me in the part where I did go. So one thing that I really love here at the end is how Jill says, sometimes we have little dreams and ideas of things that we're longing for in our hearts, and we're in a season where it hasn't happened yet. She talks about having her fifth baby in her arms. You can see it there at the bottom of the application page. And she thought, after hearing a wonderful conference speaker, man, I want to do that someday. I want to encourage women with the truth of God. And then another baby came, and her days were full of running a family. And she thought, you know, that probably is never going to happen. And only 8 years after she first had that thought, she was invited by that very conference speaker to come be a speaker at her church. Make yourself available to the Lord. We don't know what the Lord's going to do. You may have little sparks of dreams that don't ever come to fruition because the Lord's best for you isn't that thing. But be available to the Lord. You don't know what the Lord is going to do with your life because you're not the Lord. But be available because you don't know what he's going to do. So if someone comes up to you and says, I really appreciate or enjoy XYZ that you have done or do or said, or would you consider or have you considered? Don't be quick to say yes or no. Just be quick to listen and take it to the Lord. I don't know what he's going to do with it either. But we don't want to be presumptuous and shut down an opportunity where the Lord might be using us, even out of our comfort zone, to bless someone. Because it's not about us. It's about him. And it's for him and through him. Whatever that might mean. Take those little sparks that you have and offer them up to the Lord in prayer. That's it. That's thoughts? Anybody want to share on serving in different seasons of life in the church? All right, great.